1 Samuel 27 will be where our text comes from this morning. We'll be getting there in just a few moments. As we think about our text this morning, there are some very pointed and very leading questions or statements that we find in the Bible. In John chapter 6, verses 66 through 69, we read there that Jesus had made some kind of hard statements according to his disciples, and several of his disciples, as far as those that had been following him up to that point, turned and left. They walked away. And so he turns to his 12 and he says, "Will you also go away?" Peter's response is, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." So he asked a pointed question. He asked a question to his disciples, "Will you also go away?" And they didn't know where they would go. Look at the implication. To whom shall we go if we go away from you? If they left Jesus, they would have to turn to someone. They'd have to turn to something. That's the same today, isn't it? What if someone chooses denominationalism? Matthew 15 and verse 9 says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." That's denominationalism, isn't it? People going out and following the commandments of men rather than following the teachings of God. What if someone chooses nothing? Then they have chosen oneself. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4 says, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God?" When someone has decided that they don't believe in God, that they're going to do nothing, they've chosen oneself over God. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, we read another very pointed statement, or rather question, that Joshua makes to the children of Israel. He has just delivered his farewell address, and he tells the children of Israel, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Will you serve the gods that your father served on the other side of the flood, or will you serve the gods of the Amalekites, or will you serve the one true God of heaven? Choose you this day whom you will serve." If you serve God, if you choose to serve God, you will be blessed. If not, then you're choosing to serve someone, something else, other than the God of heaven. You may choose other gods, you may choose other doctrines of men, you may choose yourself, whatever it may be. It's not the right choice. That in God. As we notice these questions, one cannot help but remember the statement that Jesus made in Matthew 12 and verse 30. Jesus, again, talking to his disciples and talking to others, he said, "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Are we with Christ or are we against him? If we choose to be neither, then we're still against him. We, in our physical lives, we have to go get checkups from time to time, don't we? Periodically, we have to go see the doctor, the dentist, the optometrist, so forth and so on. But we wait for a certain period of time. Maybe we just go once a year. We may go twice a year, or whatever the case may be. We go from time to time. My friend, in our spiritual lives, each and every day is fitting for a checkup, so to speak, for an evaluation of the course that we have been pursuing, and decide whether or not some changes need to be made. As you look back through your life, are there changes you'd like to go back and make? I know there are some that I'd like to go back and make. As you look back through your life, when you look at those things that maybe you'd like to make some changes, or maybe go back and something that you did good but could have done better, maybe change something you did wrong into something right, or maybe reverse some poor choices or some bad choices, go back and change those things. Those are roads that we've gone down. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 27, I want us to notice verses 8 through 10. David, at this point in time, has been fleeing Saul. And he comes in, the man of the Philistines. He says, "And David and his men," verse 8, "went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezerites and Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen, the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, "Whither have you made a road today?" And David said, "Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jeremelites, and against the south of the Kenites." You see? David, fleeing the wrath of King Saul, came into the land of the Philistines, where he won the friendship of Achish, the king of Gath. We look at this text, and Achish asked David, "Whither have you made a road today?" Now, it bears some thought to think on this. Whither have you made a road today? The word way appears 664 times in the Bible. The word path occurs 23 times. They both occur many times throughout the Bible, but the word road occurs only once. See, David and his company of 600 men were given the city of Ziklag. If you will go back up to verse 7, you'll see that. And they abode there for 16 months. It appears that during this time, David was required to make regular reports to the king. Achish would come and ask him what was going on, what he was doing. He was expected to give those reports. In one such interview, the king asked David a question, which serves as our text for this lesson. Whither have you made a road today? You see, in ancient times, lands were not blessed with the many accessible and good roads we have now. When men were obliged to travel from one place to another, it was not uncommon for them to have to take the tools along for them to build their own road as they went. The word "whither" here is significantly important in this verse. You see, King Achish did not ask whether or if David had built the road. He knew that David was going to build a road. He knew that David was going to do something. So he didn't ask if. He didn't go to David and say, "Have you built the road today?" He said, "Whither?" In other words, his inquiry concerned his direction. In what direction have you made a road today? Which way have you gone out? Which way have you gone out to make battle, David? Whither have you made a road today? Some of the most pressing and most baffling questions that have faced mankind are: what is my origin? What is my purpose? Where am I going? What are some other questions that we may face from time to time that others may have asked? Now, the first two questions are easily answered for the Bible student, aren't they? Where did I come from? I came from God. What is my purpose? My purpose upon this earth is to serve God. Now, the third question is a little bit more difficult. Where am I going? See, many people think that understanding the first two answers will point out the third, but the first two answers are statements of fact. The third answer is based upon a condition. One of the most important questions we can ask ourselves in this life is, in what direction am I going, or where will the road that I'm traveling take me? So whither have you made a road today? You see, you cannot travel the road to hell and end up in heaven. You can't do that. In Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, we read, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." We read in Proverbs 15 and verse 9, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness." In Psalm 1 and 2, we read a progression there. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the ways of the wicked." Where does he stand? Where does he sit? See, "walketh" there means in the present. Give him consideration. "Standeth" there means in the midst, association. "Sitteth" means leading or authority, participation. Now, can you imagine putting someone on the wrong road? The doctrines of the religious bodies around us are doing just that. They say that you can take Interstate 50, you know, you can take one interstate to this place when we know it may go to another. Rest assured, everyone will eventually get where they're headed, whether they want to or not. You and I have made many roads in life. We have traveled many ways and made many paths, but have they been made in full recognition and consideration to the place we will end up? Let's consider some roads today. For one, there are many roads that lead nowhere in life. They lead nowhere in life. Job, in Job 6 and verse 18, in speaking of useless people, says the paths of their ways are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. In other words, it's dead end. They lead nowhere. See, Job's complaint was not that these men had made paths of wickedness or committed some terrible evil, but rather that their lives were empty. They were useless. They were vain. They led a life that was leading nowhere. One of the greatest errors committed by so many has been the error of uselessness. Of uselessness. A life spent out of harmony with God's divine will is a useless, vain, and empty life, regardless of whatever else they may have accomplished. They may come up with a cure for cancer, but if they are not following God, my friend, the life is useless. It's going nowhere. They have no hope. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 is a verse, a scripture that is very familiar to us, I'm sure. Solomon there, the wise man, the wisest man in all the earth that ever has been and ever will be, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now think of who Solomon was. Solomon was the king of Israel. He was the wisest man. He was also the richest man. And because he had everything, all these things at his disposal, he had everything that he could ever want. He tried everything. He tried women. He tried money. He tried building things. He tried making things. He thought animals would make him happy. He thought all these other things would make him happy. He thought worshiping idols would make him happy. He could find nothing. And so he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is his conclusion? What is it? He says, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole, forget that word duty there, it's not in the original text. For this is the whole of man. That's the purpose of mankind. Fear God and keep his commandments. All you have to do, my friend, all you have to do to go to heaven is fear God and keep his commandments. That is to obey everything that he's put out for us to obey. On the other hand, all you have to do to go to hell is do nothing. Do nothing. You see, we must consider that Christians can be busy but still useless. We can be busy and still be useless, traveling roads that go to nothing because we make ourselves so busy in too many other things. You see, Israel had made paths in the wilderness for 40 years. Where did that road lead them? For 40 years, it led nowhere. They weren't going anywhere. They wandered. There's a reason that God used that word. There was no direction that they were going. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Think of where that road could have led them. Think of the road they could have made had they not lacked faith, had they not murmured, had they not made excuses, had they not provoked God. Think of the road they could have made. Again, every day we make roads. But in what direction? Where are they going? My friend, we need to be aware of time when we consider roads that lead to nowhere in life. Time is not something that we can store on a shelf to use later. We either use it or lose it. Every moment that passes is time gone or time lost. You never get it back. It never comes around again. It can't be recalled to correct mistakes we've made. It is final. It's unchangeable. It's irrevocable. Once time has passed, it's gone. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In other words, my friend, use your time wisely. Don't get caught up in things. Don't get so busy that we lose track of time. Colossians 4 and verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, using it wisely. My friend, we cannot change the past. We may have walked roads, we may have made roads that led nowhere in life. We can't change that, but we can resolve right here, right now, to no longer make or follow paths that lead nowhere. Let's consider another road. Or roads, rather. There are many crooked roads of darkness. Consider Proverbs 2, verses 13 and 15. Where the Proverbs writer says, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. You see, there are paths that are made in darkness. There are roads that are made in darkness. We all need, my friend, to see where we're going. We need to see where we are going. Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. A lamp gives off light, and a light unto my path. What is that lamp? What is that light? It's the word of God. And without it, my friend, we are in darkness. God gives us the light to guide our way if we will but use it. There's absolutely no need whatsoever for anyone to travel in darkness. No one needs to travel in darkness. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for many things, but it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for teaching. It's profitable for correction, for reproof. Profitable to guide us in the way that we're going if we will let it. If we will let it lead us down the path of righteousness. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, according as his divine power has given. He's given, you see. He's given us the light to guide us. It is only natural to expect that a path made in darkness will be crooked, isn't it? If we told someone to go out when there's a new moon and it's cloudy, that is, there are no stars, there are no lights from the city, and we want you to make a road that is straight as an arrow for 1 mile, how likely is that to happen if we give them no light? It can't happen. It's only natural to expect that path made in darkness is crooked. The reason men today are so crooked is because they live in darkness, my friend. They live in ignorance and unconcern for God's word. We learned of that in John chapter 1. Talking about Jesus being the light in a world of darkness. You see, if we have not Christ, we have no light. Therefore, if we have no light, where are we? We're in darkness. Traveling down those crooked roads. There's another road we need to discuss, and that is, or roads rather, there are many roads that lead to death. There are many roads that lead to death. There are crooked roads, there are roads that lead nowhere, and then there are roads that lead to death. Speaking of a woman who had left the guide of her youth and forgotten the covenant of God, Solomon said in Proverbs 2 and verse 18, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. Where was her path leading her? Where was her road leading her? To death. In Romans 6 and verse 23, we read there, the wages of sin is what? It's death. Wages of sin is death. See, the path of sin leads to death, spiritual and eternal. There is a light. 1 John 3 and verse 4, concerning this road to death, we read that whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law. 1 John 1 and verse 7, we read, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, however, what do we have? If we will walk in this life in the light as he is in the light, what do we have when we come to the end of the road? We have eternal life. We can avoid that road of death. My friend, those who are not walking in the light are walking in darkness, and they are traveling their own road to to destruction. Something else that is a wake-up call to me, and I hope it is to all of us. My friend, we need to realize, our final point, we need to realize, my friend, that others travel the roads that we make. Others will travel the roads that we make. It's sad enough when a man chooses a crooked path in life that leads to death, but sadder still is the fact that he is building a road that others will follow. Think of the man's family. Where is he leading his wife? His children? And if they don't come to the knowledge of the truth, what about his grandchildren? Their children? You see, the cycle continues until someone comes to the knowledge of the truth. You see, if our roads are crooked, who's going to follow? Our family, of course, our friends, our neighbors. Who's going to follow our roads? We learn in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, that we, you and I, as Christians, can have a tremendous influence on others. Jesus speaks to his disciples and tells them that they are the salt of the earth. When the salt has lost its flavor, what use is it, he says? It's none. It's thrown out. It'll be trodden on the foot of men. He tells them, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Tells them that they are the candlesticks. It gives light to all that is in the house. What's he talking about? He's talking about the church's influence. He's talking about his followers' influence on others. Those that make the road, or that are going the road, are traveling the road, going to heaven. Whither have you made a road today? What direction are you traveling? Verse 16 we learned there. That when men see our good works, who are they going to glorify? God. They'll come closer to traveling that road. Well, we're putting away your Bibles. Hey, after song, let's be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Simple question is, we've repeated it numerous times this morning, is whither have you made a road today? Notice the question. Whither? Wanting to know what direction. Have you made a road today? Not yesterday. Not last week. Not last year or the last 50 years. Whither have you made a road today? My friend, yesterday's accomplishments don't pave any roads for us today. It doesn't matter what I did yesterday. Or the day before, or the week before, or the month before, or the year before, or 20 years ago. It doesn't matter what I did back then. Whither have you made a road today? What road are you traveling? You see, all the roads of this world, of sin, of denominations, are useless. They are confused. They are dark. They are crooked. They can't lead us to heaven. There's only one road to heaven. There's only one thing that can give us the life. That is the light of God's Word. Are we traveling that road this morning? You see, your road can be straight in the direction and then in the direction of heaven. Why not make it that way? Matthew 7, verses 13, or rather, yes, 13 and 14, we read, enter ye in at the straight gate, that is the difficult, it's narrow, it's difficult. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow, and narrow is the way. Which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find. What road are you on this morning? Are you on the straight and narrow, that path that is difficult to walk but has the most reward? Or are you on the wide path, that one that's not too difficult to follow, and which all we have to do is nothing in order to travel it? What road are you on this morning? My friend, I hope that you're on the straight and narrow, but if that's not the case, if you find yourself traveling the path of destruction, my friend, then all you've got to do to get on the straight and narrow is to obey God's Word. As Solomon said, your duty, the whole of mankind, His duty is to fear God and keep His commandments. Will you do that this morning? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Will you repent of your sin? Confess His name before men and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Will you do that this morning? I hope that you make that decision. Maybe that you're here and you've done those things, but you've fallen away. You've gone back. You've gone back and traveled a different road. Will you come home? Will you get back on the right path? If you have a need, my friend, will you come now as we stand and as we sing?